Today we want to begin another series, and this is something that we talked about a number of months ago as well. And in this time of transition that we are in, we want to talk about one heart. And basically what we're going to do over the next few weeks is focus on the shared values that we share as a local church here at Comox Pentecostal Church. And when we talk about values, basically what we're going to be talking about are things that we consider to be very important to us as a church. Every family has values. Every family in this place today have things that you consider to be important. Maybe one of your values as a family is being together. And that's why you plan family reunions. That's why you, as I know some here today, every year you plan something, a time where you rent space on a campground or out at a lake or somewhere where you get together to come together as a family because you value, it's a very important part of your value coming together and being together and having fun. This past Christmas was the first time in a number of years that all of my family actually got to be together, and 17 of us were together in our home for 2 days, and it was a bit chaotic. But I know that some of you families here today have many more than that in your household and when you get together. But it's awesome because we value that, right? We value being together. It's an important value. Things like kindness. A home where kindness is valued. A home where respect for each other is a fundamental value. Those are things that many families recognize as an important part of their family life together. And so we're going to talk about what's important to us as a church. We're going to talk about what inspires us, what unites us and binds us together as one family. So the title of this series is One Heart. What is the one heart? What allows our heart to beat together for God? What is it that captures our heart, that influences our lives? And here's another thought when it comes to our values. And this is maybe a little bit personal to me. And that is, what outlasts us? What outlives us? What are the values that will outlive you and I? Because let's face it, there will be a time where we will all become a distant memory. Pastor Dave will be a distant memory someday to Comox Pentecostal Church. For some of you, it may not come soon enough. I don't know. But the reality is, we are all going to pass off the scene. And we see this happening even in Scripture. I was reading this week, and I had never read this before quite the same way, but I was reading this week some interesting farewell sermons, some farewell stories in the Old Testament. One, for example, where Joshua, in Joshua chapter 23, was nearing the end of his life and was giving his farewell message to the people of Israel. And so it kind of caught my attention. He's coming to the end of his tenure as the leader. And in Joshua chapter 23, you don't need to turn to that passage, we find Joshua reminding the people that he has led, he's led them through all kinds of challenges and adversity and life and going into the promised land and setting up a new nation in a new land. And he reminded in Joshua 23, his farewell message was to the elders and the leaders of Israel. He reminded them to be strong in the Lord. He reminded them to be careful to obey God's word, to be steadfast and to be dependent. And the last one he reminded them in Joshua 23, he said, and be very careful. It's interesting he added that extra word, and be very careful to love the Lord your God. Basically, what Joshua was doing, he was reminding Israel of their values, the things that they were to consider to be important. Now, here's kind of where it comes a little bit together here, where we see a bit of a pattern. So Joshua, this is how he ended his tenure as the leader of Israel. If you go back into Joshua chapter 1, you will also find that God was given very much these same words to Joshua. But if you want to turn in your Bible quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's interesting, Moses who preceded Joshua, Moses is nearing the end of his life, and he did very much the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 44. Let me just read it. If you don't have it, just follow along. Listen to God's word. It says, Moses came with Joshua. So look who was with Moses. Moses came with Joshua, the son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song to the hearing in the hearing of the people. And when Moses finished reciting all of these words to all of Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words that I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. And by them you will live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess." Interesting. Moses, nearing the end of his tenure, is saying, all the things that God has spoken to us about, all the things we've been talking about over all these years, in verse 45, he says, "Take to heart all that I have declared to you." And then he says, "And these are not just idle words, but they are your life." In other words, what Moses was saying, these are the values, these are the things that are actually going to give you life. These are the things that are actually going to help sustain you and help keep you together as a nation, as a people, the people of God. And Moses is saying, pay attention to them. Pay attention to these values. I think we have that screen, that this last one up here, where he says, "Take to heart all that I have declared to you." And the principle here this morning would be this. When it comes to the values of God that we need to celebrate and respond to, these are the things that are going to give us life. These are the things that are going to be life to our church. Values are like a heartbeat. They are like a pulse that gives life to a family. And in some ways, from time to time, we need to actually we need to check our hearts. We need to make sure that our heart is beating, that all of these things that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks are beating properly within our church. I want to say that when it comes to our CPC values that we share together, I want to say that they are biblical values. They're not just good ideas. They're not just something that's been taken out of a business magazine, but they are good. They are biblical, and because they are biblical, they reflect the heart of God. I want you to know this morning that God has a heart for CPC. Do you believe that this morning? God has a heart for this church, and it's important that when it comes to one heart, that we beat, that our life, that our values, what we commit to, that they reflect the heartbeat of God, and that we are in alignment with His values, the values of the kingdom. We're going to talk about things like loving God and loving people. Those of you that have gone through our membership class, these are things that we talk about in that class. And when we go through them, those of you that maybe have not gone through this class, we would invite you to come and be part of that the next one we schedule, which hopefully won't be too far away. So values like loving God and loving people, valuing the presence of the Holy Spirit. I appreciated those moments that Joel just allowed there for just a time where we could allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Values like connecting, and I'm not going to go through them all this morning, but and growing great relationships. God designed His family to be together, kind of like what we're doing here this morning. Values like generosity and mission, like we heard last week, of living missionally. And so the question today, and these were, I want to invite you to write some of this stuff down. The question today is, why is it so important that we know and we articulate our values. Why is it important for a church family to be committed to and understand what their values are? Well, number one, the first reason is that our values identify who we are and what we stand for. There's an old saying, and maybe you've heard this before, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. How many of you have ever heard that statement before? My wife used to talk to our kids when they were growing up. She would say things like this to them. You better know in advance how you will stand. You better know in advance how you will respond if you are faced with, and she would kind of put out potential kinds of temptation or decisions that they were going to meet or make, maybe at school or a friend. I remember the very first weekend that we landed here in the Comox Valley, almost 20 years ago now, we arrived here with basically four, one who was just out of high school and three in junior high and high school. And that's, so we landed here with those kids. The very first trip down to the skateboard park down by Lewis Center, our kids were offered drugs on the very first trip. And I thought, welcome to the Comox Valley. And they began to be exposed to some things that we hadn't seen yet back in Saskatchewan, like BC Bud and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, we're having to deal with this stuff right out of the gate. You know, thanks, but no thanks. And so my wife would often talk to our kids about, you know, how, basically helping them to understand what do you stand for? Because if you don't stand for something, you can easily fall for anything. That's the whole idea. That's the principle of that statement. One of the values that we stand on as a church is the authority and the application of Scripture in our lives. And we'll say more about that. Pastor Joel is going to talk about this in a couple of weeks from now. But let me just say this. So one of our values is the authority of God's Word, that we believe that God's Word is powerful, it has authority, and it becomes the anchor to our lives. And so let me give you an example. Here in Canada right now, and many of you are aware of this situation that is affecting our country and many churches and faith-based groups, and I don't want to get political here by any means, but the reality, over the years, our church has applied for a student grant, and probably for the last 18, 20 years, we have had the blessing of federal funding that basically comes from, supported by your tax dollars and so on, and we've been able to hire in the summer one or two students. The last three or four years, we've actually had two students, and it's been a tremendous blessing to us as a church. And these are funds that you help support. And so every year we apply for that. Every year we apply for, we do our homework, we kind of lay out the plan for the summer, we apply, and we've never once been turned down. Always been in favor. We don't take it for granted, but the reality is, we're always grateful when it comes. This year, as many of you know, our Liberal government has actually put out the form, and we've just got it just before Christmas. I think maybe they thought that maybe we'd be so busy with Christmas we wouldn't notice, but the reality is a lot of us did. And in that new form, there is a place where you have to check a box basically saying that in order to qualify for the federal grant for hiring summer students, that we must be willing to support the government's position on in regards to abortion, that we would agree with their position, as well as sexual and gender issues. And so you have to check this box. If you do it online, you can't even complete the deal. And so basically what's happened is it's put many churches like our own and faith groups, camps, summer camps, who have been blessed by this funding over the years, it's put us in a position where in good conscience we cannot sign that. We can't check that off. We cannot agree to that. And the reality is, our church, we won't agree to that. And so, here's the deal. Basically, how we come to that conclusion is not because of we don't want the funds, but there's an authority of Scripture that we are anchored to, that we value, and we value life, and we value marriage, and we value what God has to say about sexuality and so on, because we believe it's good and it's right. And as a result of that, we're not able to endorse and actually agree to what our government is actually asking us to do. And so, respectfully, and I want to say respectfully because we don't want to be angry. We don't want to be some of those people who just, you know, get out of my sight. We have written letters to our government leaders and so on, and we have some wonderful people that are acting, advocating on our behalf and so on. And so here's something to be praying about. We are asking people to pray that our government would actually back up on some of this stuff and that we would find favor and that our freedom of religion and freedom of thought and so on would be respected. Now, I want to get back to Canada. Canada has values, right? Canada has values like equality and respect. Canada, and I actually printed them off, values like freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And so, basically what's happening is we are having to kind of remind our own government about the values that we all are committed to. And that is that we would be respected, that faith-based groups would be respected for their beliefs and so on, and that we would be able to have the right to be able to hire who we choose to hire. And so, would you pray? Would you pray that basically all of this has to come together in the next probably week or two, and then decisions will be made? And so our prayer is that our freedoms would be respected because it is part of our nation as well. And so the point of this, as for example purposes, is that when we know our values as a church, it helps to identify who we are and what we stand for. And friends, we stand for people who love God and respect the authority of His Word and then try to live that out in loving, practical ways. And there's all kinds of examples in the Bible who had to take a stand. One example in the Bible was the story of in Daniel, the three young boys, the young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many know that story in Daniel chapter 3? And they were actually asked by their king, or the king that they were under their authority, Nebuchadnezzar, these guys went and they built this 90-foot idol, and Nebuchadnezzar said, you must bow down to this idol, and if not, you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. And you can read that story in Daniel chapter 3. Well, these young men, they were Hebrew young men. They said no. And while they wanted to honor and respect the king, they said, no, we will not bow down and serve your gods or worship the God that you have set up. And how did they come to that conclusion? How did they come to that decision? They came to that decision because, what? They knew who they were. And they knew who they were standing for. And so as God's people this morning, first of all, while you may be a citizen of Canada, your first citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. Our citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. And so we are citizens of another kingdom. And while there are all kinds of reasons for us to live in support and prayer and honor our leaders and so on, and God, the Bible gives us clear commands and directions on how we do that, ultimately there are times where we have to stand for under the authority of Scripture. And so, first of all, that's one of the reasons that we need to know and articulate our values. The second reason is that our values help to unite us together as one family. one family. And let's face it, even when I look out here this morning, our church has a lot of diversity. It's amazing how God puts his family together. And even a local church like ours, we have the diversity of ages. Aren't you glad that we have that young age group of children kind of running around in our church? And it's just absolutely such, it's something that we must always value and appreciate. But we have a church of many ages, many backgrounds. We have cultural backgrounds that are represented here in our church. Different tastes and styles in our church. It's like a great mosaic. Differences of thought, different thinking, different ideas about how things should be. The reality is sometimes, you know, it's almost impossible for everybody to get what they want. And that's what makes sometimes pastoring and leading a church can be challenging, because everyone comes with their thought on how it should be or what it should look like. And at the end of the day, it's our values that helps to hold us together. It's our values that we seem important that help knit us together like a family. It's our values that while we at times have differences, we have different opinions, we have different ideas on how maybe things should go, instead of just focusing on the differences, because that's often what causes churches to divide and split and go crazy and do dumb things, is because they get so caught up on what divides them rather than on what unites them. Did you hear what I said? And so as a local church, we need to pay attention to the things that unite us, and it's the one heart. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, do we have the scripture there? Let's read it together. How good, all together, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. You can add sisters there, because we don't want to leave anybody out. The reality is, the point there is how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And the verse goes on. It says, it is like precious oil poured on the head. That might gross some of you out. Like, the last thing you want is someone to come and take a vial of oil and dump it over your head. But in the biblical time, it was a picture of anointing. It was a picture of God's precious Holy Spirit coming upon a people. And so the picture here is this, is that as we dwell together in unity, as we share one heart, as one family, there's a special anointing. If we want to see a release of the Holy Spirit come upon us in amazing and powerful ways, the best kind of atmosphere for that to happen is where there is a spirit of oneness and unity. Psalm 133, verse 3 says, for there God commands his blessing. How many would say this morning, we want the commanded blessing of God here on Comox Pentecostal Church? You want it in your family, your household. We want it as a church. We want the commanded blessing of God. That reference up there is actually wrong. It's Psalm 133, verse 1. But there's only three verses, so it's verses 1 to 3. Read the whole psalm. You can do it in a moment. How good and pleasant when a church is bound together with one heart. And that precious anointing of the Holy Spirit comes. And it's there that God commands his blessing. When a church unites around the things that join them together versus getting so distracted by the different things that might cause us to be divided. It's in those times of adversity, in times of change, transitions which we're in times of loss, that it's our shared values that help us remain strong and committed to being a family. You know, it's interesting, when there is a loss, when there's in a family, in a household, when there's a death, what do families do? they come together. And while it's been a painful experience to see a loved one pass away, a father or a grandfather or a child, what do families do in those times? They come together as one, and it helps them to be strong. It helps them to believe and face the future together. Months ago, when we shared our intentions to begin to move towards change, one of the little hashtags we used was CPC Strong. And strength will come as we are united together as with one heart, as one family. And that's how you are going to go forward together as a church. And so our values, they help identify who we are, what we stand for. We're going to get into those over the next few weeks. Our values help unite us as one family. And thirdly, our values help to influence our decisions. How many know that life is filled with many decisions? We're always making decisions about something. And what you value is going to influence what you do. For example, going back to your family, as you value your children, you're going to look for things to do with them, ways to spend time with them, taking them up to Forbidden Plateau and going tobogganing and all those kind of things. It's because you value your kids and you want to spend time with them. You want to help them to experience those kind of fun activities. And so that value influences what you do with them. One of the reasons you moms and dads too, you prepare nutritious meals for your family. Why do you do it? One of the underlying values in your house, in your family, is the health of your family. Would you agree with that this morning? It may not be a written thing down, but there's that underlying value of health, and you're wanting to see your children have the best fuel in their bodies, and so nutrition are things that you pay attention to. If you ask the kids what they would like to have for lunch every day, you can imagine what they would be asking for. I think we would agree that ice cream sandwiches for lunch every day would not exactly be, I know some of the kids are saying, yeah, let's do it. But you realize that that would not likely fit within your value of nutrition. And so when it comes to decisions, and as a church, we make decisions all the time. Decisions will always be made easier when we know what we value. Our values help us to choose. Our values influence how we plan. Our values influence how we spend our time and our money. Our values influence the things that we will do and the things that we won't do. And I was just thinking back to some more current examples. It was because of our values that helped to influence the decision to build a community garden out here. And there were people in our church that began to dream and have this vision. And as we began to talk about it, because of the value for our community, it actually helped to influence that decision, and it actually made the decision relatively easy. The fact that we have our after-school boys and girls groups that come into our church on a weekly basis, preteens coming together after school, that was a decision that was made because of the value that's been placed upon our next generation and how that we need to reach them. Right now, this week, last week, the launch of Youth Alpha comes out of a decision that says that we believe that all people matter to God and need to be reached with His unconditional love, including youth. And so, how many would agree this morning that youth are the most winnable? The statistics are alarming. when it comes to when someone is most likely to receive Christ. And under the age of 18, the statistics are off the charts when it comes to that's the most likely age that people are going to receive Christ. And so we need to pay attention to that demographic when they are most winnable. And so our values influence our decisions. Going to the fourth point, and I hope you're writing these down. Our values impact our vision and our behavior. Our values help to shape vision. Our values help to shape direction as a church. And also behavior. One of the things that we tried to do years ago, we tried to say that along with every value, there needs to be a behavior that's attached to it. Because you can value all you want, but if there's no behavior that accompany, you know, goes along with it, it's just wasted ink on the paper. Would you agree? If, you know, you could say we value our health, but if your behaviors, if your shopping habits for your kids don't support that, then what good is it? And so our values impact our behavior, how we will pray. One of the things that we've been praying into these last few weeks has been things related to our values. Our values will direct how we will love people, how we will pay attention to people in need. Our values, as I mentioned earlier, help to influence the actual getting out with a hammer and a saw and building a community garden. Behavior had to be attached to the value. The behavior of giving our tithes and offerings are all because we value generosity. We value honoring God with our whole life, including our finances and our time. And we can go on and on. Vision, values must always be supported by behavior. Our values govern our relationships with each other, how we behave with each other. Just as you teach your children to love and respect each other, to practice kindness, that has to be a value that is connected even to us as a church and how we relate to each other, how we will forgive one another. Let's face, I've said it before as a church, it's hard to be in leadership. It's hard to be a pastor. It's hard being part of a church without every once in a while butting heads. And at times you take bullets. At times you need to forgive. Whenever you have people in relationship with one another, someone's going to tick someone else off. How many have found that to be true? And churches, because we love each other, we care for each other, we're in relationship with each other, we make decisions together. Sometimes we walk out of a room and you think, I hope I never have to see that person again. And then the next thing you know, on Sunday, we're faced with them again. Oh, my goodness. But somehow our value says we need to find a way to work things out, and we need to find a way to get along, just like you and your marriage. You know, if every time you had a spat and ticked each other off, a marriage wouldn't last very long, right? It happens all the time. And so because you value harmony, you value love and respect, you value forgiveness, you value kindness and being tender-hearted and being willing to lose an argument. You value that because your marriage is important and your family is important, and you will do everything you can to actually work things out. And likewise in a church, our values influence how we relate to each other and how we get along, how we support, how we forgive when we've been wronged, how we help one another in times of need. Values impact our vision and our behaviors. And the last thing I want to talk about, just as we close this morning, is how that our values impress the next generation. And when I use that word impress, I'm not referring to the fact that our next generation is going to rise up and say, oh, I just think their values are really cool. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're not trying to to impress the next generation with how cool our values are. And we'll get to a scripture here in a moment that uses that word. Both Moses, and going back to how we began this message today, both Moses and Joshua were concerned that the next generation get it. Moses, before he died, he wanted to make sure that the elders and the leaders of Israel got it, passed it on to Joshua. Joshua, before his season of life and leadership and ministry and leading Israel came to an end, he wanted to make sure that the next generation got it. And so they were constantly trying to pass on these values from one generation to another. Psalm 145, verse 13, go to the next scripture, says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." And so while God's kingdom doesn't necessarily depend on us, God has chosen that his kingdom values be passed through us. And so right from the very beginning, God always established that his heart would be passed along from one generation to another, from fathers to their sons, from parents to their children. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I know we don't have a screen, but these were words that God said to Moses to pass on to the people of Israel. He said in Deuteronomy 6, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This is Moses bringing these words to his people. These were the words: "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength." We'll touch on that more next week. "These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts." He was speaking to the fathers of Israel, starting with Dad. "These commands are to be on your heart." Everyone, take your hand and put it over your heart right now. "These commands, these things that I've spoken, they're to be on your heart." And then in verse 7, it says, "Impress them on your children." This was the word. These were the values. These were the commands. This was the heart of God that was to be impressed upon the next generation. And friends, that's part of what we are called to do as a church, to take the values of God, the heart of God, the values of the kingdom, and see them impressed upon the lives of our children. He goes on to say, "Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, and tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Basically, what he's saying is that if we're going to impress the heart of God onto our children, it's not just a one-hour experience on a Sunday morning, for example, but rather it's something that needs to be carried out on a daily, weekly, 24/7 type of basis. And it's a huge responsibility. If you're a parent this morning, I mean, I look back with raising our four sons, there's all kinds of things I wished I would have done differently. I want to tell you, there's times I wished I would have spent less time in the church. Part of my nature of being responsible at times was a bit of a fault. And while I don't regret any time with God's people, there's times I wished, looking back, I would have spent more time of actually being intentional, impressing my children with the heart of God in greater ways. My prayer this morning is that this generation coming along, the generation coming up behind us here as a church, will catch the values of God's heart, his one heart for us. My prayer is that we will be faithful to our sons and our daughters, that they will catch the pulse beat of our heart and the values that we live. And so over the next few weeks as a church, we're going to be inviting you once again to catch the heartbeat of our CPC family. And not only our CPC family, but we want you to catch the heartbeat of the heart of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I'd like us to close with that song that we started with this morning. My heart starts beating. My prayer is that our heart as a church would beat with the heart of God. That our church would beat with the values of the kingdom of God. That we would be people of one heart. Everyone say, one heart. Louder. One heart. That we would be one family, one church, standing strong, united, moving forward together, making decisions that are influenced by our values, praying into the things that matter most before God, that we would be carriers and champions of the things that matter to God. I want to say this morning that some of you today, perhaps maybe this is your first time in our church, and I haven't met all of you that are here today, but I want to just say we welcome you. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're probably going to have to keep going down the road, because we are not that by any means. But we do have some values that are important. And if it's God's will that you be with us going forward, we invite you to catch the heartbeat, catch the heart, the one heart that we believe God would have for us as a church going forward. And we just simply say, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. If you are here this morning, maybe this is your first time, or you've come a few times already, we want to invite you to come along this journey. Those of you that maybe have been part of Comox Pentecostal Church for most of your life, or maybe you were here as part of the beginning, the birthing of this church, it's a time for all of us to just reaffirm these things that matter to us, things that have held us together over long periods of time, through ups and downs, through adversity. Folks, you can't treat the church like a stock market, that when it's going up, everyone's joining in and buying more stock. And things are going a bit sideways or down, everyone's bailing out. You can't run a church that way. You can't be part of a church that way. We've got to be willing to be part of the long term. It's a long-term commitment. It's a long haul. It's a long-term investment. And so we've got some people that, man, we need to tip our hats to this morning, because they've gone through way more. They've survived me for 20 years. They've survived a lot of heartache. They've survived all kinds of stuff, and yet they believe in the big picture, and we need to honor them. There may be some of you this morning, and I want to just address something else. You've never actually given your life to Jesus Christ. And in a sense, you're not part of God's family. You're on the outside looking in. And today you've come. One of the things that our heart beats for is to see people who do not know Jesus give their hearts to Jesus, so that your heart can begin to beat with the heartbeat of God. And I'll tell you something. There's no greater decision than to give your life to Christ. And maybe you're here this morning on this blustery Sunday in January. Today would be a perfect, wonderful day to give your life to Christ, to receive Him, to open your heart to Him. And actually, by doing so, you become part of God's family. And if we can be part of your going forward, as a family, as a person, we'd love to be part of that. So I'm going to just ask you to bow your heads with me right now. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to say, Holy Spirit, we we welcome you right now. We thank you for your heart for us. We thank you for your heart for your church. We thank you that you have called us to be one people with one heart that beats with your heartbeat. And Lord, right now I pray that if there is anyone here today that does not know you, that today, right now, in this moment, that they would open their heart to receive you, Jesus. Just going to ask you to keep your heads bowed. And if you're here and you would say, Pastor Dave, before we close, you say, today I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to receive him. I want to become part of God's family. If that's you, or maybe it's you're wanting to come back today. Maybe you've been away from God. You knew him at one point, but you've drifted. You've kind of gone your own way. But today you want to come home. You're coming back. You want his heartbeat to begin to beat within you. That's you this morning. Would you just slip your hand up just quickly? No one's looking. I just want to pray for you just a moment. If that's you, bless you. Anyone else this morning? Say, Pastor Dave, I want to commit my life to Christ this morning. Just raise your hand just for a moment. Anyone else today? Bless you. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you see these individuals right now. And I thank you that you gave your full heart to us. You gave your very best so that we could experience your life and heartbeat within us. We thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace. And as a church, Lord, we want to be committed to people in these times of receiving you. We ask your blessing upon them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Joel, would you just lead us in this song again? Let's sing it as a song of celebration, all right? Yeah. I love the words of Moses when he said, pay attention to these words. He said, for they are your life. How many want life this morning? You want life. Pay attention to these words. Take heart. Take to heart, he said, all I've declared to you. They're not just idle words. They are your life. And that's what we want to see as we go forward as a church. We're not dependent on any one person. We're dependent on him today. Jesus is our life. His word is our life. It's a living word that we get to take with us. And so be a champion of it. Let's be one people with one heart that beats for God. And so be encouraged today, everyone. God bless you. I want to say if anyone needs prayer, just feel free to come on down here. We always take time to pray with people at the end. And so feel free to do that even now. But have a great afternoon. Enjoy the afternoon. Enjoy the sunshine. I think the sun's coming out. How many are thankful for that today? Yeah. God bless you, everybody. You need prayer? Come on down. We'd love to pray with you today. Anything.